This is the Gods and Ghosts Volleyball Podcast with your host, Scott Bemke, and this is part three of our interview with the one and only Mike Stormand Normand. 1977 World Championships at State Beach. You paired up with Rick Shaw, best mustache ever, next to you. What do you remember about that?
Yeah. Well, Fred Stewart was playing in that one. So I think we played him and Andy Fishburne, then went on to play against Marlowe and Mingus, two excellent defensive players, by the way. And that was a good one. It was, the fans were really good. It was a good promotion of the league and stuff like that. And a lot of tremendous players, And when I was working and thinking about getting a partner, and I said, well, you know, I need somebody that's not going to yell and scream or blame anybody. You know, I don't like to yell or scream on the court at my own teammates, so there's very few teammates, you know, I think if any, but there might have been one, I don't remember, but where I've yelled at my own teammates
right
on the court. I might say something afterwards, we had a meeting one day after a UCLA loss, and in San Diego, we drove all the way back up, and some shenanigans had happened, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I asked Al if I could have a closed door meeting and, with my teammates. And so then I just told him, look, bottom line is that I know the baseball coach, he recruited me on a baseball scholarship. I can change my scholarship over to them. And, if you guys aren't going to stop taking drugs and alcohol and start training seriously, then just tell me. It's okay. I mean, you make your own choices. It's not a big deal. Trust me. I said, but if not, have one guy come out, tell me that you guys are going to straighten up, whatever. And so they came out, and then, we went on and did pretty well. But anyway, I didn't yell at them. I just gave them, alternatives. And, with Rick, I said, look, we just don't yell at each other. It's not your fault or my fault if something goes wrong. It just went wrong. And hopefully if you made the mistake, you'll correct it. If I made the mistake, I'll try to correct it, and we do our best, and that's it. And so it was really fun. It was really fun playing with them. We could have done much better had we played together, because I set the ball a little too high for him, and so that threw his timing off. I think that hurt his hitting. I mean, he still took third, so he's still an excellent player. But I'm saying my setting, if I set it down just a little, I think he would have connected more. And I didn't realize that until Celtic sent me the video, and I saw a couple of plays. But anyway, where I saw that he kind of, ran under the ball a little because, I set it too high. Potentially if I played a couple, I would have been a little better to his deep dish, because that takes a little different timing. But it was great. I mean, I had a great time, and we ended up third. We ended up third. I mean, other people finished lower, and a couple people finished higher. It's done. Yeah.
And I heard those battles on both courts went like 3 hours, three games, and you and Bearshaw, as they call him. It was epic, even in that picture of you hitting and Mingus on defense, that Kevin Goff took, is one of the best ever, hands down.
Now that you mention it, there was two pictures of me hitting with Mingus. And the one you always show is the one that he's got his hands on, which actually went through his hands. But the other one shows it hitting 10 feet in front of him. But that's okay. I'm good with that. I'm just teasing you because, you're bringing that up. So, but Mingus is really, really good. Yeah. He got screwed on the national team, but he did okay without that, I guess. So it's all good.
That's one of my favorite photos ever. I think Scott McCoy made that into a T-shirt for you.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, he sent me one. Yeah, that was a while back, though, I think. Yeah. That was nice of him. Somebody like volleyball legend. No, I forget what I said. Yeah. My wife told me not to wear stuff like that. I don't like to wear stuff like that.
Hey, you got to listen to Tony.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I love that lady, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunately, she keeps me in track. She always keeps me on time. So,
Yeah, probably the only person on earth that can pull that off. Share some of your favorite stories as a coach.
The two that stand out, I mean, there was many, but I think they really stand out that I think were interesting and hopefully helped kids learn, is that one is that we went down, and this is, I forget what year, first, second, or third, whatever. Anyway, we played against a team that was, you know, not a bad team. All teams, they're trying their hardest, but, you know, we should have beat them, you know, points of like 5-5-5, 3 straight, but it ended up going to 4. And so then we got home at about 11:30, because it was an away game down there. And I told the guy, call your parents, tell them you ain't coming home. And so we go into the gym. I light the gym up. And then we practice from like 11:30 to like 5:30 in the morning. And
serious?
We did running.
Wow.
Huh? Yeah. So we did. And so I said, I don't really care who starts for me. It has to be the 6 guys who can give me the most. That's all. You have to give me the most that you can give me. And so we went round and round. We did drills. We did round and round, you know, everything. So, and I did these drills. And then finally, I have a guy named Jim McLaughlin, who's gone on to be a OBP Hall of Famer coach, you know,
right.
For him. He went up to Santa Barbara and played real well. Anyway, he's just a young kid, and he's an outside hitter. And I go, no, I have 2 outside hitters. You're going to be a setter. And then we had Sato, Glenn Sato, his buddy. Those are my 2 setters, and then the other guys are going to be, you know, hitting around it. Anyway, so I just remember that one, and then we went on and won the championship that year too. And then another one, and that, you know, I mean, I had some great kids. And then another one where I had Randy Stoklas comes into my gym. He's already like an acclaimed player. I mean, because he was a high school. I think he was the most valuable player in the high school CIF. But
and Pally for Howard Enstead.
Yeah, Howard, that was Pally. But anyway, so, but whatever. Every kid that walks in, they're all the same. They all start the same. So anyway, so he's got an idea of who he is, which is not bad. But, you know, it might not be the same idea of the guy I think he is, but or could be. And so he wants to, every set, he wants to do it all and all that. I said, Randy, that's not a team attitude. You're going to have to hit the ball. So I say to him, because I call the sets and I call the hitter, you know. So, and I call it compared to the defense that we're playing against. So, and you're not going to hit all the balls. You have to let your teammates improve all year long, and you better improve. But you're going to have to improve to get to this level. And then when I think you're ready to go, I'll let you go. And so anyway, everybody else got to hit and block and blah, blah, blah. And Randy did well. In fact, a couple of times I had Randy set. So we did what we call a 6-3. It's actually 6-0, but there's 3 setters. But people in the East, you know, couldn't figure out a 6-0 meant 2 hitters, so whatever, setters. But
right.
Anyway, so I had a, and so Randy was set from the middle back one time, so we didn't have to come out on the left, which was great. You know, it all works. It all works. Anyway, so that was something that I did that no other coach had done before. Yeah. And I also invented the stack system, which is a whole other thing. But anyway, so we come down to the we're in the finals against Orange Coast, and it's going. And they've got the kid with the Mohawk.
Steve Timmons.
Yeah, Steve Timmons, yeah. And he's not the only one. I think the Bobovich was on that team, who was not a bad player. And he has a brother that plays with good too.
Also Steve Bobovich, I think, maybe.
Yeah, Steve Bobovich, right, yeah. So anyway, so they've got an excellent team. The bottom line is that it's real close. And so then... I don't do a lot of coaching, but I do take care of certain things, you know, besides position on the court, which All my kids know I call it out. We call it out. But I keep on subs and stuff. And so it comes down towards the end of the game, and they're ahead, I might add, and in the final game. So then they subbed this little short guy in the backcourt for Timmons. And unfortunately, there was only 12 substitutes at that time. So that's number 13. So I think they were up like 14 to like 11. I mean, they had a good shot. And I said, oh, excuse me, that's an illegal sub. So that's now a side out. And it's a point, because at that time it was a point. So now we got 11 or 12 or whatever it was. Then the coach and his wife something said, oh, sit down, you asshole coach. And I go, yes, I could be, but the rules are still the rules. And then Iggy's up on top, and Iggy goes, yeah, that's the rule. So we got the side out. And then Randy's in the left back. And I go, and so I've got time, and I say, okay, Randy, buddy, you said you wanted to be a hero. You said you wanted to put the team on. We're going to set you at the 10-foot line. You're going to side out. And then every ball, when you're in the front court, is going to be yours, and then we walk away with the championship. And sure enough, we set Randy, and bang, boom, bam, boom, bang, and he's blocking, hitting, and, you know, and then and we won, you know, and, you know, he finally got to show what he had. I mean, and then he obviously went out to UCLA, but, and then he didn't stay there that long, but, you know, that's beside the point, and he ended up at the beach. And
yeah, he's arguably the best ever. I love watching him in St. John. It was mind-blowing how good he was.
Yeah, he had a lot of skills, but a lot of, I mean, there was a lot of, I mean, I hate that, who's the best, I think, you know, Karch brings a lot into the thing, because obviously he won a gold indoors and outdoors, and of course NC2As, but a lot of UCLA guys, but he controlled it, so he, you know, St. John, there were a lot of guys who were excellent and just didn't have the same opportunities, you know, like, you know, somehow they, you know, just didn't get the glory at the right times, you know, and so.
But yeah. Randy delivered in that SMC national championship for guys against Orange Coast. This is good for history for Liren Zamir, their coach there, and he's doing good stuff there. And yeah, Randy, from what I heard, was epic in that final.
He was. And I mean, all the guys, I mean, it still takes his guys, but sometimes one guy has to step up a little better than the others, but it still takes us guys. If we hadn't passed the ball, we hadn't set the ball to him, we didn't give him a decent set, you know, not a great set, but a decent set at least, you know, what could he have worked with, you know, and we'd put ourselves in different times because, you know, a lot of times in scrimmages, the first team, the second team was down 14-2. And if they lost, then they do, you know, some physical workout. And then we play. So they learned that to hold it together, you know, when being down, that it means nothing. You can each day you can get one more point and then see where it goes from there, and then one more point. And so don't look at the whole. Sometimes you have to look at the parts, you know, and then sometimes you have to look at the whole. And that's what the coach does. But yeah, he was epic, and he was definitely an outstanding player. So the Dodd boys were excellent. Ted Mike, you know, there's a lot of people that could have been up there, but for reasons they played with themselves. I'm just saying, you know, so there was a lot of players, and we're not even going back to the old guys, Clemo, Bob Clem, even Bogey, Rundle, you know, Gribanel, Pedro Palasco, Tom Haynes, Mike Bright. Mike Bright was a great athlete, you know, he won the freaking paddleboard from Catalina. Yeah. One man, so yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, unfortunately, he got a bubble in his back. So yeah. And,
imagine seeing Randy hit a ball indoors. I saw him hit on the beach. He was aside from like Scott Akatubby, the hardest hitter I've ever seen. So I could only imagine what he was like indoors.
Actually, he was a better outdoor hitter. He was a good hit. He was good. And there was guys that could blast. You know, I mean, there was guys that could blast. You know. Doug Dunlap, who nobody remembers. I mean, he played a lot of beach. You know, and Obradovich, actually, you know, I mean, he had a hammer, you know, and Spies, and, you know, and guys like that, you know, Tim Spies.
Skip Allen.
You know, Skip Allen, yeah, I mean, you know, and I'd like to send a shout out to Skip. I'm glad he's feeling better. But there's a lot, I mean, there are some guys that hit, you know, much, much stronger, but it's not that Randy hit a, like a lollipop, but I'm just saying, you know, there's some guys that, you know, there's a kid that played with Jay Whalen down in San Diego. I played him, and it was a blonde hair kid. I forget what his name was, but he hit the heck of a, in fact, those two guys were two of the biggest warm-up hitters when I was going to play them, and I'd never seen them before, you know, because we were down in San Diego, and they're just, their warm-ups, they're ripping balls that are, you know, just as good as anybody in the world, right? But then, unfortunately, you know, I think I was playing with Greg Wrigley at the time, and we played them, and then, unfortunately, their passing skills and their setting skills weren't quite up to par, but when they did get a pass set, they could rip it, but, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't consistency enough to make, but so there's a lot of guys that, you know, you never even heard about. But anyway, that's the great thing about volleyball is there was a lot of great players and a lot of players that were really, really good and just were in bad situations. You know, I mean, they didn't get the opportunities that, you know, some of us, I was lucky enough to have. I came from a good school, so I knew good people. I worked at the, you know, I worked out at different beaches with guys, but, you know, I was very fortunate, you know, to meet a lot of top players early, you know, like Brights and the Rundles and those guys and Clemo and Bob Clem and guys like that, Austin, they helped me become Gene Selznick, you know, in my game, which other people maybe weren't fortunate to be able to play with. So yeah, I've been blessed. Yeah, for sure.
Got some good fan questions for you here, Storm and okay. Norman. Played indoors. I love this story that Von Hagen has told when you guys would go to John Adams Middle School and you guys would, like, they had those banners that you could touch with how high you could jump. Von Hagen said he was blown away by how high. He said you're the best jumper he's ever seen, which is pretty neat, as you well know. But for those listening, this is pretty cool. I think Von Hagen touched 11.3 and you touched 11.5, but you're, how tall are you, Mike? I know you like to say you're taller than you are.
Well, I'm wearing my L. Taylors, you know, that's a couple inches right there. You know? Yeah, basically, I could stretch up to 6 foot. Yeah, yeah. So 6 foot. That's kind of how I was introduced to the game. You know, is that, Harlan brought me over there, and a lot of guys, like I was saying, you know, a lot of the old guys are on that team. Jack Henn was on that team. They were practicing and stuff like that. And Alstrom and, you know, all those guys playing in there. And then they'd have open night. Like, they have open night all over. That was the great thing about SoCal, is that you could go out to Pierce College. You could go out to Burbank Breakfast Center. You could go out to Valley Junior College. You could go to El Camino Junior College. You could go to Santa Monica, you know, and play at Santa Monica or John Adams. So it just depended where all the guys, you know, were, and they'd rotate around. They weren't open every night. They were just open certain times. So you go out to, let's say, Monday to Pierce College way out in the valley. Then you go, you know, right across the street to John Adams, you know, because I was in that area. Then you drive all the way down to El Camino, and then you drive all the way out to Burbank on Thursday. And, you know, and so it just went around like that, you know. And, you know, it was I don't think they even do that anymore. At least, you know, that was one thing. I was lucky enough that you could play basically five nights a week and just go around and you know, and volleyball is you know, it's just starting, more than not just starting, but they still had, you know, little nooks, and certain guys could be heroes in their own little home court gym. And a lot of guys, you know, were really, really not nice people. And I remember when I first went out to Pierce, the first time I went out there, when you go in a gym, and this is the old days, you used to go in, there was two ways of figuring out when your turn was. One was you'd walk in and you look around, everybody nodding their head, right? And then they'd say, oh, you're up, or whatever, John's up, or Bill's up, or whatever. Another one, they can sign up on the court. And then, you know, they just crossed out the names. At Pierce, they had three courts, and one court was six man, and it was anybody just jumped in and you played six man while you're warming up. The next court was B court, and the winner of that would go play the A court, and the A court guys would stay on all night, right, or as long as they could stay on. And so I went in there, and I knew I was the fifth guy in the gym, and so they had started the game, and then they were going to start another one. I said, oh, no, you know, I think I'm really supposed to be here, because I'm on, because this guy came, and they realized, you know, who I was, obviously. And so they go, no, this guy, and you know, no. And so anyway, I said, look, I'll tell you what. If you can get me off this court, if you can get me off this court, feel free to try to take me off. Not, nobody's going to play in the second court here, you know what I'm saying? And so they're all kind of wondering, and, they're all patty cakes. And, they were players. In their best days, they were A's. But anyway, so this guy named Dave Schaefer walks into the gym. He's got, like, a big beard, really curly hair, and, he looks like a biker, right? And not a problem. And he comes over, he says, I'll play with you, right there in front of all the guys. I'll play with you. And so I take him by the arm, and I said, well, excuse me a second, guys. I walk off the court, open the court, and I said, I'm really shitty. I've only played 2 days. You probably want to save your winners for somebody else, He says, nah, don't fucking worry about it, Excuse the language. Don't worry. So we've been on the court. So needless to say, we got crushed. I hit two excellent balls that nobody else had ever hit in that gym because I actually got a ball up from a pass, which, was kind of decent. He could actually get to it. And, and so I got good. So then I just said, well, thank you. I'm sorry I lost your winners and stuff like that. He said, oh, no, it'll be, let's stand here. So he passed the ball back and forth to me. Yeah, so he says, yeah, I do. I said, what the heck do you do, And he goes, oh, I supply bikes for all the biker movies. Like the ones with Joe Namath and every bike. I have like 15 motorcycles, the choppers, and I ride in the movie, so they pay me to rent my bikes, which is a lot of money, and then they pay me like $1,000 a day because I'm the I'm in the movie. So anyway, so we met a few days, and he would sit there, and afterwards, and then for the rest of the night till till it closes at 10 o'clock, he just passed back and forth, sit with me. And then, we went from that stage where then my passing game very well because I could go back to with Harlan and the guys I didn't know were attached to teams. Anyway, so obviously my passing came really well because I had those pass skills. And then, so then I could pass the ball, he could set it, and I could rip it. So then they said, okay, No, we're not going to steer to this guy anymore. We're going to steer to Dave, or whoever my partner was, because Dave couldn't make it all the time, but he could make it, most of the time. Anyway, so then he passed the ball, and I'd slap it up, which, of course, I thought was setting, but, I didn't, what do I know, right? If you don't play, you don't know what's good, bad. And so then guys, after I guess that's right, challenged their manhoods and stuff, they were going to stand me. So what they do is they'd grab the ball, and then they'd look straight at me, and then they would – like put a side spin and bounce it underneath the net, and which instead of just throwing it straight ahead like a bounce pass, they like put the sides, both hands and make it spin and bounce at it. And I always thought that was freaking strange, And then after a couple times, I figured, they're doing that after I've set a ball. So then I went to Dave. I said, Dave, is that a pro? He says, well, it's pretty close, And then I turned around to those guys, you fucking, anyway, it's a throw, call a throw. I don't know what it is at this particular moment. Just call it. If you think it's a throw, call a throw. I don't care. I'm not here to win, lose, or draw. You don't understand that. I'm here to learn. So, so then they would call the throws, and I give to them. And then all of a sudden I wasn't throwing. And then, one thing that I did, and then that was on all night long. I dominated the courts. And then at the end, all these guys, the first bunch of guys were dickheads. They go, Rudy and Butch and those guys, they just won the Pan Am Games.
Like Rudy Sawar and 4F Butch May and all those guys.
I said, but, Mike Bright, Rudy Sawar, and they go, yeah. I said, well, I know those guys. And I didn't, then I all of a sudden in my head, I go, but now I know who those guys are, right? I didn't realize it was them. That's why I said,
right.
Rudy Sawar and Butch, how many Butches? But Butch May, and, anyway, so they said, oh, yeah, well, if they're your buddies, if they're your buddies, they're going to have a tournament here this Saturday, an open tournament. And you should come and say hi to your buddies. I was so close to, put them into the ground. But anyway, I walk off, and then I call a guy named Hewlett-Packard, and Ahmed Mahone, and these guys that I played on. Remember that All-Star team I played on? Big freaking black guys, right? Great football players. They went up and played, and actually, one played for the Raiders. But anyway. I said, hey, guys, I need you to do me a favor. He said, yeah, sure, what's up, Mike? I'm going to drive over to this college, and then you're going to sit on either side of me. These clowns say something. make sure I don't beat the heck out of him because that's probably against the law.
you ready to throw it down, Mike?
Oh yeah. So anyway, so there's one entrance to the gym, and these guys that you come in on the right is a wall because it's a doorway, and these four little hamburgers are sitting on the wall. I'm sitting on the left wall right there with the door, and the two biggest black guys you've ever seen, built like brick houses. Anyway. And mom's sitting there. I'm thinking to myself, well, shoot, geez, I didn't know these guys were that good. I thought they're just a bunch of old guys. I'm thinking, well, okay, there's two ways this can happen, right? Is I say, hi, Rudy. And then it doesn't matter if I walk up to anybody on any street, I've never had a problem. If I say, hi, how you doing? The person will look at me strangely. Even in the ghetto, they go, hey, how you doing, bud? And then they'll walk on, right? Everybody's usually polite to me. I've never really had somebody that wasn't polite to me. So if I say hi to him, then he's going to say hi back. That doesn't mean he really knows me. And then I said, well, maybe I should just keep quiet. And then if he comes in and he sees me, because I'm right there, I mean, there's two black guys, you can kind of notice, and one white boy in between, he might say, oh, hi. And he might even not use my name, but that's okay. At least he said hi. He recognizes me. And if he said Mike, that would be even better. But, I'm going through all these things in my head. I'm telling
right,
him,
right.
Just hold me back. Just hold me back. I said, so once it's done, we can go home or something. Anyway, so then I see Rudy coming. I just see him in the hallway because they got their back, to the door. And I'm like on the side of the door that's open so I can see them. So I see Rudy. He's got four paces from walking to the door. And all this stuff's going through my head. And I go, everything's going through my head. It's crazy. And then so Rudy walks in and says, hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey, you want to play with us? Now, okay. I was a pretty bright kid. I knew that there was only one way, because they hadn't seen me. They'd only seen me when I first started. Now I was really, really good. I mean,
right.
I was at least single A, double A probably, but I didn't know how because I didn't have the ratings. But I mean, I was like 1,000% better. So anyway, but I knew why he'd asked me, what do you think? What do you think the reason was? You have to think about when you play volleyball, is they didn't have enough guys. They need six guys to start the tournament. Somebody, Chuck Nelson, that would be the guy, was going to come late. He couldn't, he's coming up from, South Coast or something like that. So he was going to be late. So I knew they needed a guy. So that's why they, because if they had six guys, they wouldn't need me. And they don't know how good I am, because I know at best, shitty. At best, maybe not as smelly. But anyway, so I jump up. And I told the other guy, I said, thanks, guys. You guys can go. And so I jump up and I said, oh, your court's way down here, because I'd already checked it. And they were LAY. So anyway, I take him down there because I know he's going to say, we don't have enough guys, but I don't want these guys to hear, right? All they heard was, hey, Mike, you want to play with us? I said, yeah. So I jumped up, grabbed him, took him away from them. And then he goes, Chuck Nelson's going to be late. I knew that. You weren't asking me because you thought I was an Olympian that just didn't make the team with you guys. But anyway, So needless to say, that's how that one, and then from that one, I became AAA because I was playing with those guys, and Jack Henn was the setter, and he wasn't going to set me to save his life, and Butch is there and stuff, and so they tell me, okay, stay in the middle back, on the line.
like they did with Wilt with the Big Dippers.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get in our way kind of thing, but they didn't, they said it nicely, right? But, they did their baggage. Anyway, so... Needs to say, and so a couple balls came my way, and I dug them, and then we get to the front row, and I'm going, okay, gonna set me. So I go through the front row, and we're killing these guys because they're the best team here. So I go through, and maybe five balls were set, and I didn't see a ball. Okay. The next time. So anyway, we finish up, so we ended up ending the game before, and so I got a chance, right? So then we change sides, we play the second game, and same thing. Jack is that. So there's a ball that Jack's running from the right back all the way across, and it's almost, it's between the middle and the left side. I'm the left side hitter. I've backed off the court to give him room, and I figured there's no freaking way he's not going to set me. There's no freaking way. I'm going to get a set.
One of your infamous high balls.
No. He slides into the ball and sets a back set, and then he looks at me, and at least he was nice enough to say, oh, yeah, the block was following me, so you would have had, like, a 2 or 3-man block. So And I knew what he was doing. I mean, I'm a teammate. I'm not going to tell my teammate what to do such if you paid me $1 million. But anyway, so we finished the first game, we win, and so we're in the second game. And then, you know, once again, I've gone through the front row twice, and there was a timeout because they were killing the other team, and I go up to Butch and I go, Butch, I really improved. Sure. Yeah, kid, we know how you work. Trust me. We know what shit smells like. Anyway, I said, tell Jack to set me. Come on, tell me. And once again, so we win that game. We get to the next end. I walk up to Jack in the middle, and I said, Jack, look, set me a freaking ball. Okay, set me one ball. Just set me one ball. If I don't hit it, we only lose a point. And you don't have to set me again. And then when Chuck comes, fine. Anyway, so he looks at me and I said, look, just do it. All right. And so I'm going to be gone anyway, right? And Chuck's coming. You know, he might just show up this game. And so anyway, so he sets me the ball and I have Wardrop and Wink Davenport, six and six, eight guys blocking.
Damn.
And I hit over him. And then, needless to say, the rest, and then that same game, you know, and then, you know, I don't get a bunch of sets, but at least I got that set. Then Rudy's having a little trouble passing, so I step up, and instead of being in the middle back, I walk in, and I start passing, and sort of, all of a sudden I can pass the ball, blah, blah, blah. So then we're in the third match, and now I'm looking over my shoulder because, you know, they said he was going to come through, we started at 8 o'clock, so now it's like 10:30, and I know that Chuck's coming, right, you know. And so, and he was number 11, which is a jersey I took. It was long sleeve. We used to wear long sleeves. And so this was number 11, right? But anyway, so I'm looking over my shoulder, and I'm trying to play the game, so we're playing well. And so then, you know, I get a couple guys, start blocking balls, and I'm understanding the game because, you know, now I played a bunch of six-man games, you know, because the others were just doubles. But anyway, so the other team calls a timeout. And so as I'm walking over to the timeout, guess who walks in the door? Chuck Nelson, right? So he comes over. And I go, hi, Chuck, I'm Mike. And I'm taking off his jersey. Now, wait a minute. You got to understand how young I am. I'm taking off his jersey, which is sweating like you know, like dog eats, right?
Right.
I'm taking his jersey. Here's your jersey. So Chuck looks at me. And he goes, I think I can find one in the box.
He didn't want anything to do with
you,
that.
Yeah, right. You keep that one, right? So I'm halfway off, so I put it back on, you know. And so then we go back after the timeout, and I'm sitting down, and then the ref goes, you can't start. You only got five guys. And so everybody looks over and looks around. And then it's Mike, get your ass out. I said, well, Chuck's here. Chuck's got to warm up. So I get back in there, boom, 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 boom. And so then we win that one. And so then the second game, I figure I'm out, and Arlo goes, no. You know, you're in this one. Anyway, so I end up, you know, starting and out, and then Chuck plays for another guy, and we play a bunch of different guys. Anyway, so that was it. And then from then on, I was lucky enough to, you know, make a bunch of top teams because, you know, in those days, they'd rate you. And if you got rated, like I got rated right off the bat when because that was a friendship tournament, I got rated off double A right off the bat because, you know, they found who I was and that payment won with them. So that was it. And later on, after we won a couple more tournaments, then I ended up being AAA indoors. So that was nice. But there you have it.
This concludes part 3 of our interview with Mike Storman Normand. Thanks for tuning in. As always, please check out our website, godstoghosts.com, and our YouTube channel, Gods to Ghosts Volleyball. Catch up soon.